From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. President Obama is declaring he will not commit American troops to another ground war in Iraq in his fight against the so-called Islamic State. NPR's Maura Liasson reports the president was briefed by U.S. Central Command on any terrorism efforts and told troops at MacDill Air Force Base today American forces will not have a combat mission.
After the briefing, President Obama told the troops that only America has the capacity and the will to lead the world in the fight to degrade and ultimately destroy terrorists like ISIS.
And whether in Iraq or in Syria, these terrorists will learn the same thing that the leaders of Al-Qaeda already know. We mean what we say. Our reach is long. If you threaten America, you will find no safe haven. We will find you eventually.
But the president said he will not commit large numbers of U.S. ground troops to a new combat mission in the region, even though just yesterday the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff had left open the possibility that if the current strategy fails, he may recommend more ground forces. Maura Liasson, NPR News, the White House.
The GOP-controlled House today did vote to give President Obama authority for the U.S. to train and arm moderate Syrian rebels in the battle against ISIS. The Senate could vote to back the program as early as tomorrow. It's the last day of campaigning in the referendum on Scottish independence. NPR's Arya Shapiro reports from Edinburgh on what the vote could mean.
A yes vote would end the 300-year union between Scotland and the rest of the United Kingdom. But the split would not happen immediately. If independence wins, political leaders would spend the next 2 years negotiating a huge list of important issues, ranging from currency and debt to nuclear weapons and European Union membership. The aim would be for the split to take place by March of 2016. Even a vote for unity would change some aspects of Scotland's relationship with England. Britain's main political parties promised to give Scotland new autonomy if the UK stays intact. Those specifics would also be worked out after the vote. Right now, the polls show unity holding a slim lead over independence. Up to 14% of voters remain undecided. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Edinburgh.
Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee has once again promised to keep interest rates low for, quote, a considerable time. The comment from the central bank at its end-of-meeting statement soothing financial markets. Fed Chair Janet Yellen says when the Fed does next depends on how the economy does going forward.
What we do will depend on how the data unfolds. There is uncertainty about that.
Fed has been slowly winding down a bond-buying program aimed at boosting the economy. Policymakers say that the overall labor market continues to improve, but slowly. Fed's actions played well on Wall Street, where the Dow again closed at a record high, its 16th for the year so far. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 24 points, or 0.15%, to end the session at 17,156. The NASDAQ rose 9 points, closing at 4,562. The S&P 500 was up 2 points today. You're listening to NPR. A federal court judge in West Virginia signed off on a $2.9 million settlement involving several hundred people who had their water contaminated during a January chemical spill. Judge Ronald Pearson, in an order filed this week in U.S. bankruptcy court, which still also must be approved by a district judge, said that the settlement should be reached. It would be made with insurance proceeds from now bankrupt Freedom Industries. The spill resulted in a water use ban that affected around 300,000 customers and lasted for days. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said today Congress needs to allocate more money to help catch white-collar criminals. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports Holder also wants to increase the rewards paid to whistleblowers on Wall Street.
Holder has been criticized for not pursuing criminal cases against individuals who helped to bring about the 2008 financial crisis. In a speech at New York University Law School, he said building such cases is much easier when insiders step forward to report criminal activity as they see it. But he said federal law now caps the amount paid to whistleblowers at $1.6 million.
That's a paltry sum in an industry in which last year the collective bonus pool rose above $26 billion, and median executive pay was $15 million and rising.
Holder also said that since 9/11, the FBI's focus has increasingly been on terrorism, and more money needs to be put into fighting white-collar crime. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
Residents of Tucson, Arizona are preparing for the onslaught of bad weather. Phoenix residents also gearing up, with forecasts calling for as much as 5 inches of rain in some parts of the state. Residents of Hurricane Odile moved through the resort town of Baja California South earlier this week. Residents there are still struggling with power outages. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.